Today, as you can see behind me, we'll be talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. I appreciate the songs that were led, excellent songs to focus our minds on God and the purpose of why we're here. That's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is certainly that Jesus is our Lord, and that's where I would like to start out with this idea of Jesus being our Lord, that as it says in John chapter 1, verse 3, that it points out that He is our Creator. If you think about Revelation 19, the description that we see of Christ there, Him being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords that He is, and how awesome He is. And it's the power that this same Lord, this same one that we're going to see, as the song we just sang, that once we get to see Him in heaven, the idea that just seeing a glimpse of Him, all the toils of life will have been paid for, will have been worth it, to paraphrase, how awesome He is, that this same Lord can be our friend. And I think it's certainly and very important to look at Jesus as our Lord, because He certainly is, but also to understand that He can be our friend, an opportunity and blessing that is. So we're going to go ahead and look at that this morning. Starting off with His choice. If you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, is where we'll start this morning. John chapter 15, just along with this idea of Him just being, not just being our Lord. I'll go ahead and read those verses. 12 through 17 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father, of the Father in my name, He may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another." Again, seeing this idea that He can be our friend, that He calls us friends, as we look at in verse 14, if we're going to listen to Him, obey Him, love Him, and love others, follow what He has taught, and so the real power that is found there. And then Hebrews 2, if you would turn there as well, just to get this idea of He also calls us a friend, but He also calls us another close bond that we can have in our physical lives as well, that we can see. So I'll go ahead and read Hebrews 2, 9 through 15. It says, "But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of His suffering death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him whom all things and through whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the originator of their salvation through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one from the Father. For this reason He is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, 'I will proclaim your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly I will sing your praise.' And again, 'I will put my trust in Him.' And again, 'Behold, I and the children whom God has given me.' Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death He might destroy the one who has power over..." He Himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death He might destroy the one who has power over death, that is, the devil, and free those who, through the fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives." So again, we see this relationship, was trying to look at in verse 11 specifically, that we can be His brothers and sisters. We can be one with Him, as it talks about again in verse 11, that both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one from the Father. And the blessing that is, the close relationship that we can have, whether it's, certainly we, I'm sure, have all had friends in our lives, and the nice close relationship that is to be able to, you know, go do fun things, rely on them in times of difficulty, whatever it may be. And then if you have had siblings, certainly that brother-sister relationship can be good. You can argue sometimes, but it's always a good relationship to have, and a blessing. And to have that same relationship, that same friendship, to be a brother or sister of Jesus Christ, to be a brother and sister of God, is remarkable. That it's not just He's our Lord, which He certainly is, deserving of all praise, but He's our friend is a whole other level, almost, to me, of just how it adds to how amazing Jesus is, how amazing God is. At least I think that He can be our friend and our brother is amazing. And Another thing, though, is that Christ coming to earth, he didn't do these things mindlessly. That's another thing I think is truly amazing. He didn't come to earth and was just almost this idea of a robot, where he just goes through the motions, did all the things he had to do. But there was emotion that we see with Christ. There was choice that we see with Christ. And the amazing power there is it was his choice. It was even his choice to lay down his life. John chapter 10, verse 18, in the midst of him talking about being the good shepherd, he talks about how he has the authority to lay his own life down, in John chapter 10, verse 18. And so it was his choice to do that. And I'm just going to read some of the things that it was to understand his choice, especially just with him being God. He chose to do this, that he chose us first and foremost in John 15, verse 16, and numerous other places. He chose to come down to earth to dwell in flesh and blood, like to be like us, that talks about in Hebrews 2 that we just read a second ago. Lay down his life for his friends, lay down his life for the sheep, which are us, to die for those who hated him, who despised him, and just the horrible things that were done to him. He chose to be made a little lower than the angels. It talks about in Hebrews 2 that we just read, to have a suffering death, to go through being on the cross, to being said those abusive things to him on the cross, you just can't imagine being on the cross, being exactly who he says he was. And they're saying these things that he was doing, that he was destroying the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days, to use an example. And for him to stay on that cross for those people, certainly, and for us, is remarkable. It was his choice. He chose to free us from the death that enslaved us. It's talked about in Hebrews 2. And this idea that we didn't choose him either, as Colossians 2:13 will talk about, that we didn't choose him, that he chose us. This wasn't a relationship where we tried to befriend him first, and then he was, okay, I guess I'll be friends with Jacob. He's kind of nagging at me. It was, no, he chose us when I chose him. I didn't choose him at all. When I was his enemy, when I was dead, when I was helpless, he chose me, and he chose you to be his friends. And the only logical conclusion that comes from that is what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, that's remarkable. The best friend we could ever have, certainly, a friend that chose you when you absolutely were on the complete, total other side, chose you to be his friend, and to die for you, to pay that ultimate price, and allow you to be in heaven with him for eternity. That opportunity is such a remarkable thing. And again, just to say what a friend we do have in Jesus. And adding on to this idea of him being our great friend is that he won't leave you. If you would turn over to Romans chapter 8, as we go ahead and read there. Friends, as I'm sure we know in life, come and go for various situations. Maybe moving, whatever the cause may be, just growing up. But this is a friend that we can have that's never going to leave you. A friend that is awake all hours of the day and of the night. That he's not taking a nap like some of our friends might have to. That he's there to talk to you all the time. And that he'll never abandon you. So we'll go ahead and read Romans 8:35-39. It says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or trouble, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So looking at verse 37, and 37 really correlates to 31 quite a bit, I think. And I'm sure we know 31. It's a verse that even the world would like to say, those that are close to Christ, like we talked about in class, that if God is for us, who can be against us? That all these things that are mentioned in 38 and 39, these things do not stand a chance against Christ. We talked about in Hebrews 2, the idea of he tore away the power of death, the great power that he has, that when you're with Christ, it's victory overall. And he's going to get victory regardless of what's against him. And then 38 and 39, I mean, there's not many other things you can think of outside of that list right? There's a lot of nors in those two verses of things that stand no chance against God and cannot separate us from His love. And I just want to go ahead and read a. We did this at Mason. We did it as a singing scripture reading, and as I was preparing for it, I thought it would actually be good as a sermon, so I kind of switched up at the last week. So I just want to read one of the songs we sang. It's 800 in your songbook, if you want to turn there, or you can just go ahead and listen as I try and read it. It says, it's "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there." Beautiful words of the song. The idea of that friend we can call on, specifically with taking it to in prayer, like we talked about, that He's there all the time. Very, very easy access to talk to God. You don't have to be at a certain place, look in a certain way, like other religions. But you just, you know, He just start talking. Just Father in heaven, just go. The blessing that is, we can talk to Him. And that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing's going to stand in the way. No man and whatever may happen in this world. Nothing. No powers. Nothing stands in the way of His love. But there is one thing that can cause us to be separated from God. And unfortunately, that's ourselves. Is that we're the ones that decide to leave, to walk away from this relationship, to walk away from His love, and to kind of do our own thing. If you flip a couple pages back to Romans 5, 6 through 10, I just want to look at we kind of already talked about this a little bit, but just to reinforce this idea of the state that we were in prior to and the state we are in now because of Christ. Just going to go ahead and read these very powerful verses. So Romans 5, 6 through 10 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by His life." So as these verses say, we were helpless, we were sinners, enemies of God, and yet He still chose to die for us, still chose to do that. I mean, as it kind of talks about in verse 7, you know, one would hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone would dare to die. He died for people that were completely against Him, enemies, right? And, you know, for the average person, they may die for a good person they care about. He died for those that will never care for Him. Right, that have no care at all for Jesus and the power that He has for us. And this chapter ends with this idea in verse 20 that it says, "Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." And this leads into chapter 6. As we know, the Bible wasn't written in chapters, so this is a letter. The chapter is being man-made, so the points continue on. And Romans 6 picks up with this idea that we have been reconciled to God, that we shouldn't continue in sin. And this idea that it's us that choose to leave this love, choose to leave this relationship, and that He's given us this grace, given us this mercy, and that we need to understand to stay with Him, to stay in that constant relationship with our friend. Because we can choose. It's amazing the fact that God sent His Son to die for us, right? The power that is, and that If it were me, and I don't have a son, but if I did, and I were to send my son to die for you, I would not give you the choice on if you're going to follow what I want or not. That would be, you're going to do it no matter what, no ifs, ands, or buts. He gives you the opportunity, the free will, that we've had that has been around since the beginning of man, of beginning of time, it's just amazing that he gives us that choice that, you know, he can be this great friend, has been this great friend for us, but we don't have to accept his friendship. It's amazing that he gives us the choice. And the importance and necessity of him being our friend cannot be overstated. And also with that, it's not this idea that he is, you know, all the events, all the things Jesus has done are in this book. Certainly we see, I believe it's the end of John, where it talks about that there are so many things that were not written in this book that Jesus did. But the idea that he's still working today is a very important thing to understand. Some of the things behind me throw up there with the verses there. He's our mediator, our intercessor, someone there for our on our behalf, looking to help us. And the awesome thing that he is on to be on our behalf, to be on our behalf. And then Matthew 6, 25 through 34, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's talking about, you know, he understands what's going on with the birds of the sky, with the lilies of the field, and he, you know, provides for them, cares for them, and that he's going to take care of us, because aren't we much more important than the birds? It's kind of a little Jacob version of that chapter, but it's just amazing what he's done. He's still extremely active today in certainly mediating for us, interceding for us, and providing for us. In Ephesians 3:20, I'm gonna go ahead and read that verse. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So in verse 20, the idea that I think sometimes we can put God into a box. And what I mean by that is limit his power. Limit, like, he can't do this, or he's not going to do this for me. And it's this idea that he is very instrumental in working in our lives. Obviously, we see it, and he doesn't take away free will, right? He doesn't, you know, if you ask for someone to do something, he's not going to make them do it. But this idea of he gives us opportunities, puts us in positions to act in a certain way, to serve, whatever it may be, he gives us those opportunities, and it's very evident to see his work in our lives. I encourage you, if you haven't in the past, to just think about in situations maybe forthcoming or in the past of seeing his work in our lives, seeing some of the positions he's put you in, the opportunities that you chose to act on or chose to ignore, and understanding his hand is certainly in our lives today, blessing us with opportunities. And just this amazing friend that we have, right? This, as we continue to talk about, that he's a friend that did all these things that we talked about in this book, and that he's still active today, still working, still helping us get to heaven, get to the home that he wants us to be in, is amazing. Go ahead and read another song. It's 548 in the book, if you want to read that. That's it's Lily in the Valley, or I Found a Friend in Jesus. So going along with our theme here. But this song actually helped inspire this lesson, so I did want to read this one. It says, "I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Oh, he all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart now, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. All a wall of fire about me, I have nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory and to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll." And then the chorus being, "He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul." And again, just this another idea, another way of coming with this idea of him being our friend. How awesome that is, that he can be our friend, that we can call on him at all times. He can be the one that mediates for us, intercedes for us, forgives us our sins. It's truly remarkable. And that's hopefully if I've done an all right job. The idea that we can go away with this is that what a friend we have in Jesus. What an awesome opportunity it is to have him, that he took our place and on the cross, and that he is still working for us, still helping us, and we can have that very close, intimate relationship of being his friend, being a brother or sister. That's a relationship that we can't understate. Like I said earlier, he is Lord. Understand, need to praise him as such, but he is also our friend, and that relationship we can have there is awesome. But I ask you, as we end this come close to this lesson, is what will your answer be at this time? We're all going to answer the invitation. A lot of times when we're in church, the invitation is the time to pack up your bags and get ready to go. But this is a serious time to think about, all the time, not just now, all the time, the invitation, serious time to think about where you're at, to think about where I can improve, where I can, where I may need help, if I need to ask help, if I need to be baptized, wherever that may be. Just thinking about what we talked about today, that he is your Savior, that he's your Lord, and that he can be your friend, and he can be your friend if you let him. So if Jesus Christ is your friend, we sing a lot of these songs like Jesus is all the world to me, I need him every hour, these kind of songs. And, you know, we sing them, but do we actually mean them? Do we actually live them? Right? Do I actually, in my life, live like I need Jesus every hour? Or do I only need him when it's kind of getting tough? Or when it's whatever it may be. I only need him 3 hours of the day. But it's I need him every hour. Right? Is he the lily of the valley, the bright morning star in your life? Is he your world? That idea. We sing these songs. They're beautiful songs. But when we sing them, do we not only mean them when we sing them, but do we live them? Is the importance there? And along with that, how can we get closer to our friend in this week and in our lives? If your answer is maybe no, that you're not Jesus' friend, or he's not your friend, I'd ask you maybe why. Just because what we talked about today, all he's done for us, the amazing friendship that we can have, the best friend, best choice we'll ever make for him to be our friend, to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to have that close bond and relationship. And if the answer is baptism, the answer is prayers, whatever answer it may be to the problem or what you may want to improve on, I know there's certainly faithful Christians here that would love to help you. And if I could help you, I'd love to do that as well. But just to understand that we are going to make that choice. We're all going to answer the invitation right now on what we're going to do. And with how we live our lives, are we going to live our lives that Jesus is our friend? Are we going to show others that Jesus is our friend? Or are we going to decide to walk away from that friend? But like I said, the choice is yours. We're all going to make a choice this time. So I pray that you make the decision that is correct and leading towards service to Christ. But whatever it may be at this time, I ask you please come forward as you stand and sing.